right. Good morning. You guys doing good this morning? All right. Y'all looking good. You ready to hear the word this morning? So, how many came today and you came, and when you came, you remembered as you came in the gates and the courts to have your praise on already? How many came ready to go? How many put the armor of God on today? All right. Oh, look at that. Raise your hand real high if you put on the armor of God. Okay. How many asked the Holy Spirit to fill you this morning? Okay. How many confess that you can't do it by yourself? Oh, you guys are okay. If you want those cards, we have those cards. If you don't know how to put on the armor of God, we have those cards. It's so important that you put on the armor of God. Here's why. Because the Bible says, if you put on the armor of God, you'll be able to withstand the devil in the evil day. What's the reciprocal of that? If you don't have the armor of God, you're going to be taken out. How many know Satan is aiming for you? How many know some people have been taken out? How many know some people have been taken out? Look at your neighbor and say, I hope that's not going to be you. And here's what Paul says. It won't be you if you put on the full armor of God. Why? Because you'll be able to withstand. Amen. Amen. How many got your catchers out today? Okay, what does that mean? How many came ready to receive from God today? Okay, so you've got to stay with me because I'm going to go like this. Sometimes when I'm preaching, the dots are really easy to connect. Sometimes they're a little more difficult. But whether they're a little bit more difficult or simple, you got to catch it. And you're not going to be catch it if you think about other things. Thinking about your lunch or what you're going to do at home or what you got to wear tonight for whatever, all this stuff. No, you guys got to be right here with me. Does that make sense? I mean, here with me, all ready to go. Okay. And if your friends talk to you, just look them like shoot them kind of a dirty look real quick, okay? Now, you have permission to do that. Come on, let's practice. They're talking, they're telling you, say, hey, did you notice, Pastor? You know what I mean? Something crazy. Shoot them a dirty look right now, real quick. Just kind of, you're like, not even. Go ahead. Yeah, that's good. All right, good. Okay. All right. Right. Are we together? What am I really saying? I'm really saying, don't talk to your neighbor right now. That's what I'm really saying. You're interrupting them. They're trying to focus. No, let's be together. Amen. You want to sing it? All right. Last week, I started talking about, or actually the week before, preparing for the second coming. And I believe God is coming back very soon. When I was growing up, we did some crazy, crazy wrong things in the Baptist church growing up. Did we not, Fred? I mean, there was some stuff that was out of order, right? But there was a lot of stuff that was in order. And one of the things that we did at the end of service is we sang this song. And it was a really cool song. And it was a cool song for a lot of reasons, but we had this blind guy that just jammed on the organ. This guy was off the hook. He was really cool. And so we sang this song, and he did it with kind of a polka beat to it. It was really cool. And maybe I'll teach it to the worship team. But we sang this song, and it went like this. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Here's the deal. We sang that every single Sunday for I don't know how many years, a long time. When I was 16 years old, there was a tree out here that we cut down because it was dead. But we were underneath that tree, and a small Bible study. Friend of mine, older friend of mine, he was in college. I was just probably a sophomore in high school. And he was going to our Baptist church, but man, there were so many people, particularly in the youth, that we weren't on fire for Christ. We just liked hanging out with each other. But he went to Azusa Pacific and he just got on fire for Christ. He really got on fire for Christ. And he had a vision to come back to the Baptist church and to really start to mentor some people. Well, they had a whole plan. He and his girlfriend and a couple other leaders. And they they kind of divided the youth group up. Well, this guy, he took the worst of the worst. And I was in his group. It was me. Who was your friend? He was a really good baseball player. He was a really good athlete. No, not Bill was a good. No. Yeah, there was a lot of good. No, not Sam. He was, I think your sister dated him. Kirk Reamer. Oh, Kirk Reamer. Yeah, he was. Kirk Reamer, Jimmy Freeman. So me, Frank Jasso, you could ask Fred. We were the worst of the worst. And he took us. What did he start doing? He just started teaching us the word. And we didn't know. You know what I mean? We didn't know. You know, we thought we were saved. I'm not saying we weren't saved, but I'm saying we probably weren't saved. And we got born again. I got born again. And right underneath this tree, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and started serving the Lord in a what's it? Oh, yeah, the tree's gone. Yeah, we were all underneath that little. No, the tree's gone. Used to be a tree there. There used to be a beautiful tree here and a beautiful tree there, but praise God. Anyway, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and just got on fire for Christ. Well, I got on fire for Christ, and somebody gave me this book. It was Last Days, small little book. And I read The Last Days, and there was all kinds of reasons why he believed we were in the last days. And I thought, I was a sophomore, and I thought I probably won't graduate from high school. Now, you got to remember, every Sunday, what are we singing? Coming again, maybe morning, maybe noon. And this stuff just starts to pound in you. Listen, parents, bring your kids, bring your little ones to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. Every Sunday and every Wednesday. Every Sunday and every Wednesday. But I started to think that looking at what was going on in the world, that there's no way that I would probably graduate from high school. Well, how many know I graduated from high school? Somebody look at your neighbor and say, just barely. But I graduated from high school, and then I graduated from college. And then life happened. And I'm not saying that I fell away from the Lord, because I loved the Lord and was serving God. But I wasn't singing Come In Again anymore, right? Come in. I wasn't singing that anymore. We didn't sing that under Pastor Bradford. And the constant reminder that Christ is coming, be ready. Christ is coming, be ready. Christ is ready. Understand this. Here's what the Bible says. That Christ is going to come as a thief in the night. The Bible says that as the days of Noah were, so will be the second coming of Christ. What are the days of Noah? They weren't paying attention. They weren't paying attention to spiritual things. So what I'm telling you is prepare for the coming of the Lord, because the Lord is coming back soon. And there will be some, there will be a division. And there will be some that are divided. I mean, everybody's going to be divided. Everybody's going to be some. Listen, you will be on some side. And the side you will be on will be whatever side you're on. That's deep, Pastor. No, it is just truth. You know? Whatever side you're on is going to be the side that you will be on. And once you're on that side, at that point, it will be too late to switch sides. You're going to say it will be too late then. And what God is not going to do, George, can you heat this up? What God is not going to do, what God is not going to do, is He not going to say, I like Tamara. She's got a cool look. I like her vibe. You know what? So she's on my side. You know what? Edgar, not so much. Boom. His wife, yeah, definitely. It's not, see, that's what we think. We think that, oh, God likes me. He's a cool head. And therefore, I'm going to be on His side. That's not how it's going to work. All that's going to work is God is going to look and go, oh, you're a Dodger fan. Do you catch that?
Yeah.
That's all He's going to do. All He's going to do is see where you're at, and based on what you want, where you want to live, how you wanted to act, how you wanted to see, right now, you can spend whatever time you want with God. You can spend or as little much time with God or as little time as you want. You can praise God. We're going to praise God later. You know what? You're not going to force. If you don't want to pray, I don't like this on whatever it is we talked about last week. You ought to come passionate for the things of God. But if you don't want to worship, God ain't going to force you to worship. If you don't want to give, you don't want to become a tither. You don't. He's not going to force. He's not going to force you with your money. If you don't want to be part of serving, He's not going to force you. He's going to let you do whatever you want to do. Amen. Whatever you want to do, He's going to let you do. But let me tell you what He's not going to do. He's not going to look at you and say, "Oh, you're an angel fan." He's not going to do that. He's not going to force goat people to have sheep clothing. He's not going to force that. He's not going to do that. He doesn't want to do that. If you don't want Him, He is a jealous God. He says, go then. That's what He says. If you won't serve me, you're not worthy of me. And this isn't taught in the body of Christ. Now he loves you. He has withheld nothing from you, even his son, the Bible says. But what he's not going to do is force you to do what you don't want to do. And what the other thing he's not going to do is he's not going to pretend that you're in if you're out. He's not going to do that. Amen. Can I show you scripture? Can I show you scripture that will help us understand? Somebody say, Jesus Christ coming back. Now, when he comes back, it will be too late to change teams. It will be too late to repent. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of repentance. Today is the day that you say, and think about it, who wouldn't want to get saved today? Who wouldn't want to change their life today? Let me tell you, let me testify. Can I testify? Whether you know it or not, I'm going to testify the truth. Why? Because I have the belt of truth on today. Here is the truth. The truth is, a life with God is better than a life without God. Amen. And the more God you have, the better your life's going to be. Amen. Oh, but I don't want to be like those crazy Christians who don't get to do anything fun. No, I don't want to be like those crazy un-Christians who get drunk and they, you know what, and they have sex and then they wake up in the morning, they don't even know who they had sex with. Hello. I'm not judging them. I'm not judging them, but I am saying this. That a godly life is a better quality of life. Hands down, that's the truth. That is absolutely the truth. That is absolutely the truth. And I'll throw one more thing at you, just so you know. And your kids aren't going to follow you unless you're doing what you say. If there's hypocrisy, oh yeah, we say this, but we don't act like that. We act like this on Sunday, but we act a different way on Monday. I'm just telling you what, your kids will see right through it. Yeah. Open up your Bibles to Revelation. We read Revelation. Can I tell you why we read Revelation? You say, Pastor, but you know what? Wait. Oh, that was actually, I want to ring that up. See, when I was a kid, we sang that song every day. I read that book. There was this constant in the body of Christ, this constant teaching, Jesus, this belief, Jesus Christ come back, Jesus Christ come back, Jesus Christ come back, Jesus Christ come back. Do you remember this? This constant reminder. And then we got into this set where it was like, oh, yeah, he's coming back. I mean, we didn't say he's not coming back, but it just like, I don't know. It just wasn't as high priority. You know why you ought to read Revelation? You know why Revelation is part of our daily Bible plan? Because, yeah, but you don't understand this seal and this book and this, you know, all this stuff. I don't understand that. You don't have to understand everything about Revelation, but you cannot read Revelation that you don't get this. That you can't read it. Do you know this? That your NIV is about a seventh grade reading level? Unless you're reading the King James, which we don't. I mean, if you have King James, that's fine. We read the New King James. But most translations right now are about from a fifth grade to an eighth grade reading level. What does that mean? It means you can read Revelation. Do you understand that? Well, I don't understand it. Well, you can't read Revelation that you don't walk away with this understanding. You will understand this, that Jesus Christ is coming. When you get done, you might not understand all the seals and all that stuff. You might not understand all that. But you will understand this. Jesus Christ is going to come back. And you will understand that there will be people that because they don't have a personal relationship with God, they are going to be in a bad place. You'll get that. And you'll get one more thing, that if you do have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that he will protect you. Amen? And he will save you. Revelation chapter 3. And let's look at verse 15. We saw this last week, but I was reminded this morning of something that I didn't show you. Look at your neighbor, say, this is going to be good. Pay attention. Now I know your... Look at your neighbor, say, this is a training center. So I want you, we're teaching. Okay, so if I stop, I want you to know the next word. If you don't have that verse, that version, we have it up here because I want us to be able to read together. Now I know your, what? Doesn't say I know your, see here. Here's what I want you to catch. God knows what's really going on. Look at your neighbor, say, the question is, do you really know what's going on? That is the question. That's the question. God knows what's going on. And he's going to base what's going on not on what you say, but on what you do. Say, not on what you say. He's not going to base it on what you say. He's going to base it on what you do. That's why he says, I know your what? Many will say, Lord, Lord. Lord means you direct my life. But I will say to them, depart from me, you doers of iniquity. You doers. See, I'm not listening to what you say because I'm too busy applying or observing what you do. You say, Pastor, this seems like, man, it seems like, man, I'm just coming in. You know what? It seems like a pretty judgmental church. Pretty unloving church so far. Wait. This stuff is all going to happen, guys. I'm grateful that somebody is going to tell me before I get on a plane that something's wrong with the plane. That isn't an unloving thing to do. That is a loving thing to do. Okay? Nobody will love you more than Christ loves you. No one. But he's going to tell you the truth. I know your works, that you are neither what? You're neither cold or hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. We went over this last week. Why would he say he want us to be cold? Here's why. Because cold people, they recognize sometimes how jacked up their life is. And they give up and give their life to Christ. I know what's going on. And I judge it not on how you feel, not on what you think. I just judge it on your works. So what would be a good thing for us to judge our life on? It would be a good thing for us to examine what we did last week. Would that be good? Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Amen? Did you walk around with some bad attitudes last week? You do some... Come on. Huh? Did you walk around... Did you do the dinosaur walk last week? I'm so mad. Huh? Did you do the dinosaur walk last week? Huh? Come on. See, it's important that we examine. Did you serve last week? I said, did we serve last week? Oh, man, got quiet. How many served 2 hours? How many did what their pastor asked them to do? You came. Come on, let me see it. You came and you served, not on a Sunday, you served 2 hours. Raise your hand real high. Ooh, man, I see those hands. Wait a minute. How come I see some hands that aren't up? Pastor, if you don't get off this, I'm gonna go to another church. Ooh. Here, can I tell you why I'm not going to get off it? Because I love you. You need to change. You need to adjust your schedule. I see a church where hundreds of people are coming to serve. Hundreds. Where people are not just talking about their love for the body of Christ, but they're laying down their life for the body of Christ. I see a church where we will send five people. Oh yeah, no, we got all this covered. We're sending five people over to that older place's home, and they are going over there and they're just knocking on doors. Yeah. I already talked to the manager. Amen. They were doing the parking lot, and she wanted to know if they can use our parking lot. Oh. Said, Pastor is a good neighbor, right? What did I tell her? I said, absolutely. But can I ask a favor of you? Look, you're saying, Pastor, smart guy too. I said, can I ask you a favor? She said, sure. I said, can we maybe pass out some flyers over there just asking if some of your people that are older, if they need us to help vacuum or maybe clean some windows or something. Would that be a good thing? And could we do that? She got this big smile. You know, she thought I was going to say something else. Yeah, I don't know what she thought. You know what I mean? But she got this big smile, and she said, oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, Pastor, how come you're not doing that? Ooh. Look at your neighbor and say, man, he set us up big time there. I said, Pastor, how come we're not doing that? No. Ladies, get your little compact out. You know, the compact, you make sure your lashes are okay, lipstick's okay. Get your little compact out and ask yourself, why we're not doing that. Can I tell you why we're not doing that? Because we need more people showing up. Yeah. Just saying. And I'm not going to stop. Let me tell you why I'm not going to stop. Because I know why you were created. You were created for good works, number one. Number two, you know what? I know you have 2 hours. Number three, I know that will be a blessing for you. Number four, I'm going to try to push you into understanding what a blessing it is. Here's what I know. I got the belt of truth on. Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor, you got the belt of truth on. Here's what I know. It is better to give than receive. That's what the Bible says. It is better. But you don't know that yet. If you knew that, you would have signed up for 2 hours. So, Pastor, who are you talking to? I'm talking to, here, look at you. I am talking to every single person that is hearing my voice right now. There's no one that I'm not including in that list. No one. No one, no one, no one, no one, no one. Unless you're here for the first time. This isn't even your church. You're from Kentucky. You just came. I don't even know what you're talking about. And listen, and if that is you, I'm talking to you too. When you get back to Kentucky, go up to your pastor and say, I don't know, man. This one crazy pastor in California, he said I should give at least 2 hours. That Kentucky pastor can get a big smile on his face and say, wow, man, that pastor was right. Because Ephesians says you were created for good works. Self-centeredness is one of the biggest sins in America. One of the biggest sins in America. Amen. Are you learning something today? Say, look, and I've only got 1, 2, 3. I've only gotten 4 words. But how many know that's okay? I know your what? Works. That you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were cold or hot. He wants us hot, but he knows that some cold people get hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Gross. But here's what I want you to catch. Look at this. Because you say, here's what I want you to catch. Here's what I want you to catch. Because you, what do you do? What do you say? You say, I'm rich, have become what? Wealthy. Here's the main thing. And have what? Now, that's what you say. Look what's really going on. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You don't know what's up. You say this. I'm just talking to lukewarm people. Here, right? I don't even know how to say this. Don't raise your hands. I was going to say, raise your hand if you're lukewarm. I was going to say this. But see, what I knew is, if I said that, probably, there's a couple of honest people, but you know, probably, I'll say it like this. In most churches, if the pastor said, raise your hand if you're lukewarm, you know, nobody would raise their hand. And let me tell you why nobody would raise their hand. Because you don't know that you're lukewarm. You think you're fine. Matter of fact, you'll get on me for keep on talking about 2 hours. When is he going to get off that? And let me tell you why you have that mentality. Because, quite possibly, you don't know what condition you are. You say you're rich, you've become wealthy, you have need of nothing. I'm fine. But God says, no, you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. These are the same people. Say, these are the same people. With me, say it. These are the same people. Who? No, you don't have to keep on saying that. Who will, when Jesus separates, they'll be on the goat side, not on the sheep side. Why? Because they didn't recognize. They didn't make the adjustment. And can I tell you why? Oh, man, this is so good. Oh, man. Turn to John. Are you learning something today? How many still glad they're here? Pastor Paul, I might need some help finding this. Turn to John 3:16. Guys in the, look at that. Look at those guys in the back. They're on it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish and have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. If you're here for the first time, this is not a condemning message. I got nothing. Tamron, I got nothing but love for you. We got nothing but love for you. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There's no other name under heaven by which you can be saved. He's the only way that you're going to get saved. You're not going to get saved by, you know what, you know, Pastor, okay, I'm not going to cuss no more. Praise God that you've made a commitment not to say the F word anymore. Thank you, Jesus. But that's not going to save you. Amen?
Why? Listen, if you say the F word, stop it. It's tacky. It's just, ugh. You don't recognize how, you know what I mean? Or any other cuss words. Or for that matter, if you're just like, you know, negative all the time. Ugh. Stop it. The Bible says that from your mouth shouldn't come blessings and cursings. Become a blesser, not a curser. Amen. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
But that ain't going to save you. What you need is the blood. You need something that is going to take away all your sin. And the only thing that takes away all your sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. That's Jesus. Here's what you're going to catch. And man loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be shown, lest his deeds be exposed. You know why some people don't come to church? Because at church, we have standards of righteousness that we're going to talk about. At church, we're going to tell you, you can't just have sex with everybody just because you want to have sex with everybody. Amen? The world ain't going to teach you that. Right? The world is going to say, if you're two consenting adults, then it's okay. But the Bible doesn't say that. The world's going to say, not only spend all your money on yourself, but spend money that you don't even have on yourself. Right? The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't teach that. The world's going to say, there's things that other people will do to you, and you, they don't deserve your forgiveness. And you're going to walk away with it. That's right. See, why? Because you don't have the belt of truth on. You don't know what the truth is. The truth is that bitterness is going to jack you up. But they don't even care. It doesn't make any difference. Your example isn't them. Your example is Jesus Christ. And Jesus on the cross, you know what? Said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You say, Pastor, you can't, listen to me. You say, Pastor, you can't do that. That was Jesus. You know what? Stop listening to the devil when he tells you can't do all things through Christ. You can do all things through Christ. We just read it this week. Stephen, when they were stoning him, you know what he said? He said, Father, don't commit this sin towards them. What's he doing? He's doing the same thing Jesus did. Amen? Stop thinking you can't act like Jesus because a bunch of bonehead people on the radio that call themselves Christians said you can't act like Jesus. I'm here to tell you, you can act like Jesus. And our calling, the Bible tells us to be an imitator of Christ. So why aren't people coming to the light? Here's why they don't come to the light. Because the light will show them what they're doing wrong, and then they'll understand that that's wrong. How many bummed out when they started putting the calorie counts on the Whopper with cheese? True story. You know, how many know for years they didn't put the calorie counts up there? They're like, right? I went into Kentucky Fried Chicken. You want to see a crazy calorie count? Go into Kentucky Fried Chicken. That place is nuts, man.
I saw the calorie count. I'm like, unbelievable. Hello? Why don't we want the calorie counts? Because it tells us information that we don't really want to know. That's why Jesus said, they don't come to me. It's not because they can't. It's not because I don't want them. It's not because there's not forgiveness for them. It's not because I'm holding their sin against them. Jesus Christ came that no matter what you did in the past, it's been taken care of. Are you learning something today? So, I say all that to say, we've got to prepare ourselves for the second coming. We've got to maybe act a different way than we've acted before. Coming to church won't save you. Loving God saves you. Loving God saves you. The question isn't, does God love you? You know what the question is? Do you love God? Every person, watch this. Can I teach you some good theology? This will jack you up a little bit, but this good theology. Everyone that God loves won't be in heaven. Let me let it soak. Everyone that Jesus loves will not be in heaven. Stay with me here. Everyone that loves Jesus will be in heaven. Right? For God so loved the world. The question isn't, does God love you? The question is, do you love God? That's the real question. And that question is the question that will be, depart from me, you doers of iniquity, I never knew you. See, you didn't, how many? When when I married my wife, her family, most of them lived in Chicago. They listened to this crazy music. And Tamara's dad owned a deli. So, you know what? When I was visiting him, we'd get up, we'd go to the deli and just kind of hang out. That was their business. They were doing, you know, had orders and stuff. They would just hang out in the deli. And they'd turn on this crazy country music. And oh my goodness, I didn't even know what to do with it. So like, my wife. I mean, just, oh my goodness, just nuts. It's like so negative, so whiny, so awful. You know what? Santa Claus ain't gonna come to my house anymore. Just like, what kind of Christmas song is this? But I'm serious. And song after song after song. And I'd be just like, I'd be like, Tamara, I can't take it anymore. This is nuts. Okay. But how many know I like country music now? Now, I don't like the Santa ain't coming to my house no more. I still, any of the negative, I just can't hang. But I always hated any country music. Even if it was I just hated the twang in it. I hated it. But now I like country music. Amen. Say, Pastor, how come you like country music? How come you like country music? How come you like country music? Hated going to Mimi's. How many gone to Mimi's before? Mimi's, it's just like, what? And I know this like sounds old school. It's like, Mimi's like, oh my, first of all, what guy wants to go to a restaurant called Mimi's? It's like, what the heck? You know what? And then you go in there and they got all the, I mean, it's just like, oh man, this is, I don't, you know, can we go to Claim Jumper or something? Because I don't want to go to Mimi's. Is that your grandma's favorite? I'm just, it was one of my wife's favorite restaurants. So we'd go to, so what did you do? I went to Mimi's. Okay. And why would I go to Mimi's? Because my wife liked Mimi's. Here's what I'm saying. God has a standard of living that you got to, are you Christian? If you're a Christian, then you've got to start to like what he likes. We need to start praying, God, help me to love what you love. Help me to hate what you hate. Amen? And some of us, can I train you? Can I teach you something? Some of us, we just don't know. Our flesh have been trained. Our flesh have been trained. Can I talk to somebody today? See, we're not conformed to the world, but we're transformed through the renewing of the mind. Look at your neighbor and say, you know what? Your spirit is not the problem. Look at your neighbor and tell, your spirit is not your problem. Why? Because your spirit, when you got born again, your spirit got perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, your head is your problem. That is the problem. You know what? So men, we learned. We learned. How many know if no judgment, I'm not looking around at anybody. If you think I'm looking at you, it's just because you're under conviction. I'm not looking at you. I don't know. I don't have no revelation knowledge. If you're watching pornography, I don't. God isn't showing me you. I don't know. The only thing that I ever really know, the only insight that I ever know, that I've ever been given, is somebody in this audience, somebody listening to me is going through this. I will have that much revelation. But I'm not saying that God can't show you things. Remember in Acts, we just read it. You know what? Ananias and Sapphira come. Ananias comes in first, and the Holy Spirit reveals to Peter that he's deceiving him. Remember? And then the wife comes in, and he asks the wife. He knows. So that can happen. I'm just telling you, it hasn't ever happened to me. So don't feel like I know. I don't know. But God knows. And understand, at some point in time, if you don't get rid of your pornography issue, at some point in time, everybody will know. So take care of it now that just the only person knows is you. Amen? And that's what God would prefer. Amen? And pretty soon somebody else will know. And then if you continue to resist, pretty soon everybody will know. At some point, not pretty soon, but at some point. So just make the correction now, right? But men, we learned, if you don't know, you know this, I'll teach it to you. We learned that if you're watching pornography, particularly if you are, I'll say it like this, gratifying yourself, that in your mind has this explosion of endorphins. And you're like, whoa, that's cool. Well, what did you do? You don't have the belt of truth on. Well, why would God do that? Why would he? If that happens, why would God do that? Here's why. Because his intention is for you to get married and for you to have a relationship with your wife. And every time that happens, you're with your wife. And if it happens over and 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 over, come on. And over 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 and over. And every time you are looking at your wife, I mean, at some point in time, your wife comes in the room and you're just like, right? That's what God intended. That's what God intended. So what have we done? We've allowed Satan to come in here and manipulate something. And watch this. He is such a sucker. He is so, and many times he comes in, you know what? Not when you understand all these things, but he comes in when you're 8 years old, when you're 12 years old. So we learned, if you start to, how do we not be conformed to the world? We renew our mind. We're not conformed to the world, but we're transformed through the what? Renewing of the mind. And we learned that if you start to identify, you know what? So you see some lady and she's wearing something inappropriate. You're not watching pornography. There's just, how many know, today's, man, people wear some funky stuff, right? Shake your head like this if you know what I'm saying. And so if you just put a rubber band around your wrist and snap it, now you got to use your neck too. What do you got to do with your neck? You got to, if she's there, you got to go here, right? Got to use your neck. But if you will use your neck and snap it, now your brain will understand that's not good. Right? So you're not conformed to the world, but you're transformed through the renewing of your mind. Are you learning something? So you start to walk in this reality of God's ways are higher than my ways. And watch this. And when your wife starts to notice that you really have a purity in your heart towards her. Oh, come on. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen with her? Man, you can smile right now. She is going to... Here, let me say it like this. It's just going to be a good day for you. It's just going to be a good day for you. Amen?
Amen.
And that might take a while for her. Love is patient. Don't get all... She's been patient with you. You be patient with her. Get all freaky because,
did you hear, Pastor? How come it's not a good day for me?
Just, you know what? Don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap if you don't lose heart. So you just stay consistent. Okay. What are we talking about? We're talking about recognizing Christ is going to come back, and that whatever my behavior is, that really says what's really going on in my life. Here, I'll quote the word to you. John says this, that we prove our love to God by our actions. John says, we prove our love to God by our actions. See, I know your works. He said, well, Pastor, God should judge my heart. No, he is judging your heart. You're the one who doesn't know your heart. Because instead, you'll just pretend that you're in some other state and you're not in that state. And if you'd be honest with yourself, and just start looking at your actions, then you'd start to be able to judge. Two things. I'm going to say a lot, but I'm going to say two things, and then I'm going to say another thing. One of the main ways to prove, to look at your actions is look at your checkbook. Some of you don't even know what a checkbook is, but look at where you're spending your money, because that will tell you where your treasures are. That's where your heart is. That's what the Bible said. So, and that's a real way to monitor what the temperature. Does that make sense? Why do you have a thermometer? A thermometer will tell you exactly how hot it is. I've used this example before, but it's a good example. You ever been on the freeway? Maybe you're going out to like Palm Springs or something, and it's just like, oh, you're just driving, you know what I mean? And next thing you know, you're going 95 miles an hour. You're 5 miles away from going 100 miles an hour. Has anybody ever, raise your hand, be honest. And it's like, you're not crazy, you're not crazy trying to be Mario Andretti or something. You're just driving. What brings you back? The police. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully not. Hopefully you'll see it. What brings you back? What causes you to slow down? What? The speed limit? How many? The speed limit. Do you know you're supposed to not go 95? You know you're not supposed to be going 95. Right? I didn't know. Cop pulls her over and she's going 95. She's like, I didn't know. If I just would have seen the sign. What? Yeah. What causes you to slow down? The police. No. Hopefully before that. There's something on your dashboard. Oh. Okay. If you had a Snickers bar, I would take the Snickers bar from you. The speedometer causes you weren't even aware of it. Look and see where you're spending your money. That will be what will help you. Look at your neighbor and say, sometimes you need help. And let me tell you why. Because you don't know where you're at. Can I give you another one? Your mouth. From your heart. See, here's the thing. He's judging my works. He should judge my heart. Wrong, Amundo. He is judging your heart. He's judging your heart. He accurately knows what's going on in your heart. You're the delusional one. You're the one who has... that's not fair because I didn't know. That's why I showed you that scripture in that Jesus said in John 3. You don't know because you don't want to know. Here, I'll prove it to you. The Bible says, Jesus said this to anybody. If you seek, you're going to find. If you knock, the door will be open. Anyone who has the sincerity to seek and say, God, I'm not sure what's going on in my heart. Just show me. He is obligated. He will show you what's going on. Now, when he shows you, you've got to not kung fu grip your sin and say, yeah, but that's how I am. Yeah, but that's how I am. But that's how, watch this. Whoa. Can I go deeper? Can I teach you something? That's how. Here, don't get mad at me. Listen to the whole thing and then judge it. But listen to the word I'm going to quote. But that's how God made me. No, that's who you were. That's the life that you were born into. That's the iniquity that you have. Well, but Pastor, that's really not my fault. Well, I'm with you on that. Whose fault is it? Your crazy father and your crazy, crazy grandfather and your nuts great-grandfather and your crazy mom and your crazy grandma and your crazy great-grandma. And going back and back and back and back and back and back and back, and the ultimate crazies, Adam and Eve, right? And iniquity came into this earth, right? Here, who doesn't have a bent? Who doesn't have a bent towards doing the wrong thing? Raise your hand if you do not have a bent towards doing the wrong thing. I mean, we all got that bent. Come on, is that not right? And your thing is different than yours, and yours is different than yours, and yours is different than mine. But we all have, how many know we all have an opportunity to sin? How many know we all have an opportunity to sin? We all have that opportunity. But how many know we all have the if we're Christian, we all have the opportunity and responsibility to lay our life down. Our life doesn't belong to us. And can I throw one more thing at you? His commandments are not burdensome. See, these things, these weights and sins that so easily beset you, you know what they do? They easily beset you. But they don't have to easily beset you. You can make a decision right now. Some of you have made a decision that you're not going to watch pornography anymore. You know what? And you're amazing. You've done that. Some of you had made that decision and you're doing better. Really? You're doing better. Pastor, what do you have to say? I say, way to go. Keep on, fight the good fight of faith, because it's a good fight. And at some point in time, you're going to be completely free. At some point in time, you're going to be completely free. At some point in time, you're going to be completely free. But you've got to make a decision. You've got to make a decision. You've got to make a choice that you are going to serve God. That the old ways are the old ways. That you're going to fight the good fight of faith. That you are not going to be, you know what, someone who talks one way and acts another way. That you're going to come to Christ and say, God, every day like I do, every day, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I can't do this by myself. This is the normal Christian life. This crazy life that we have thrown out there and talked about, oh, the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God. You know what? And then we think that means that you can just do anything that you want. Read it in Revelations. It says, to him who overcomes, I will give them. And he goes through this whole list. And ultimately, they are giving the gift that they would be able to be with God forever. But we need to read and know that, you know what? God's not playing around. He did everything for us. Now he's expecting us to step up to the plate and say, you have my life. You don't want me to do that? I won't do that. Yeah, but it's hard. Yeah, but let me tell you what's real hard. What's really hard. See, stop saying what Satan's saying. Can I tell you what's really hard? What's really hard is for you to keep on doing that stuff. Because do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. Whatever you reap is what you're going to sow. God will not be mocked. You cannot sow to corruption and receive, you know what, eternal life. You cannot sow to the flesh and reap joy and peace. You can't do that. But what you can do, and I can do it too, and every single one of us have a choice, what every single one of us have a choice to do is to lay our life down and say, you know what, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. What Paul said, he said, you know what, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But that first part, for me to live is Christ. I'm not just a churchgoer. I'm just, for me, my whole life is Jesus Christ. And whatever he asked me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to do it with a bad attitude. I'm not going to turn my head and start to look back and see what my life used to be and start to regret what Satan is telling me is the hard life. Let me tell you the hard life. The hard life is to not serve Jesus with everything you have. And let me tell you what God wants. He wants everything. He says, I want you to love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. I want it all. I will not take second place. I will not take third place. I will not do that. I won't allow you to do that to me. I did everything for you. Now I'm asking you to do everything for me. And it might be a process. I get that. I understand the process. But enough. Enough of this crazy thinking. We just come to church and we don't change. And we leave and we act the same way that we act. We speak the same way we speak. We spend the same way we spend. We have sex the same way we had sex. That it is, after all, because the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all unrighteousness. You are misapplying that. You do not know of what you speak. Paul said this, should we continue to sin? Romans chapter 6. Should we continue sin that grace might be increased? He says, no. How are we, who those of us who've been set free, how are we to live in that sin? God wants us to break free. And for all of us who have loved the world too much, here's what the Bible says. You can't love the world and love God at the same time. You got to make up your mind what you're going to do, who you're going to love. And if you choose that, it's your choice. But you are not going to mock God. You're not going to stand up there in the judgment day and you know what? And you have gone around back. You know what? Oh, you find a little sheep thing. You're a goat. Come on over here and go, bah, bah, bah. And think God's not going to go, oh my goodness. He's going to go, oh, hey, you come over here. I don't know what happened. You got on the wrong side. Come over here. This is where you belong. Amen. Amen. How many receive what God is speaking to us today? How many receive that? How many receive that? How many receive that? Now, there's two people. There's two kind of people here today. There's people who are rocking it. I mean, you're just rocking it. You are just serving God. You're loving God. You are just, God is so pleased with you. Here's what I want to say to you. Keep it up. Here's what I want to say to you. There's a hotter place than even where you're at now. Amen. And then there's some other people here. And you're just lukewarm. And God says, hey, come on. Come on. Come on. Stop playing. Come on. Running out of time. Come and receive what God has for them today.